Welcome to the Partnership Path in Real Life. Ever felt the gap between theory and reality? We're here to bridge that. Dive into real stories, real challenges, and real successes from professionals just like you in the partner and channel management world. Each episode is a journey, a lesson from those who've walked the partnership path, faced the challenges, and reaped the rewards. Whether you're a seasoned partner manager or just starting your journey, this is where theory meets practice. Ready to see the real side of partnership? Let's get started.
Well, hey, Joy, welcome back to the Partnership Path in Real Life. We had you on this companion episode on our very first episode, which was a couple of months ago now. And so I'm so happy to have you back. But in case we have some different listeners on this one, I'll give you an opportunity to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how long you've been in the partnering world.
Okay. Thanks, John, and thanks for having me back. My name is Joy Verplank. I am currently in a role where I am the partner, the vice president of partners for Aviva, which means that I manage all of our SIs, our distributor partners, you know, and also our parent relationship with Schneider Electric. So I've been in the partner industry, or I've been working with partners for probably close to 25 years now, which surprises me every time I say it.
So you started as a teenager then, obviously.
Yes, just out of elementary school.
Excellent. Me too. Yeah. Well, look, this episode, I know you listened to this, that's why we're talking, was about partnership alignment. How do we know when our partnerships are in alignment or out of alignment, and what do we do about that? And so we wanted to have you back and talk a little bit about how that works for you and your team. So let me just start with getting your reaction to that. When you listened to this episode, kind of what went through your mind when you heard that?
The first thing that went through my mind was really how key alignment is. And I think that in order to align, there's some really important concepts that I consistently think about, which are keeping it simple, because the more simple your strategy is, the better and the easier it is to align, and then have some consistency so that you're not constantly having to realign. And then also just being transparent, making sure that people understand, and there's a lot more honesty and trust that way if you're transparent with what the goals are, and it's easier to align that way also.
Yeah. You know, this is how my mind works, Joy. If we could come up with one more thing that started with a vowel, you could make an acronym out of that, because you had an S, a C, and a T in there.
I did that. We think way too much alike. So if you put alignment in there, then it's CATS, right? So that's actually
how I love it. That's awesome. We do think a lot alike. That's right. That's great. Yeah. All right. So that's super cool. And I agree with you. It's absolutely critical. I mean, obviously we even have some training elements on this, right? Of kind of figuring out alignment and trying to resolve that. But for you, in a really pragmatic sort of world, and you're a leader, so you've got people under you that are managing a lot of the relationships that your organization is responsible for. So how do you teach your people, or how do you kind of reinforce with your people to be watching for alignment, to kind of pay attention for that? What are some of the tricks and tips that you use?
Yeah, one of the first things that I did when I came to this particular organization is I automatically started a partner advisory board. And the reason that I did that was to bring in some of the folks in the field, so directors from partners in sales, you know, as opposed to just meeting with the principals or with the marketing leaders. So I pulled people together from different levels, and I invited team members so that they could hear what the partners were challenged with. And that helped them to see sort of how misaligned we actually were and how we could then work to gain alignment. But I think that you have to prove that there's misalignment before you can actually go out and fix it, because so many people just think that, you know, we get lost in our day to day and we just continue to work the way that we've been working because it's, you know, we all have a quota to hit. So.
Well, yeah. And I think, I think from my experience, it's really easy to get super reactive without taking a little bit of a step back to go, wait, why is this happening? Right. We have all these execution issues kind of come at us. A partner's upset about a deal registration, or is upset about the way an invoice got paid, or is upset about another partner that got into a deal, or, you know, there's just a myriad of things that that happen. And sometimes we work so hard to try and make the partner happy without actually taking a step back to say, well, wait a minute, what's really going on here? Like, is there a bigger thing at play? And I think for me as a leader, that's one of the things I've always struggled with, is helping my team take that step back and not just be so reactive to everything, even though their heart's in the right place, right? Yeah. Of trying to make the partner happy. Does that resonate for you?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I just had an example of this where I had one of my channel account managers who was super frustrated because their partner was not willing to invest in additional resources. Yeah. And, you know, I asked them, I said, well, which resource are you asking them to invest in? Because in our business, there's several different, you know, parts of the portfolio that we could ask them to invest in. And he told me one of the portfolios, and then it turned out that his boss, who also works for me, was actually telling them a different part of the portfolio, but they weren't connecting and aligning internally to then align with the partner. So the partner was very confused, and they thought they were okay right where they were. So they were like, well, you know, we're getting mixed messages. We're just going to do what we do. And so having gone out there and met with the partner myself, I was able to address some of that. But I think it's just consistently being present as a leader, and also being present with your partner if you're a channel account manager, and making sure that you're checking for understanding.
Yeah. God, it sends a little bit of a shiver up my spine, that story, only because I think more often than not, and I'd love your opinion on this, more often than not, when a partner is out of alignment with us, it's almost always our fault in the way we've done something, not necessarily on purpose, just like you're describing. I've got two different resources giving two slightly different messages to the partner. And instead of the partner saying, hey, you're telling me two different things, they just go, you know what? Get mixed messages. We're going to back off for a little while you guys figure it out. Mm-hmm. And they don't tell us that. Yeah. Instead, they tell us that in a whole different way by saying no, right?
Or
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. They make a decision by making a decision not to do anything, which is a decision.
Yeah.
Right? So
that's exactly right.
Yeah. I agree.
Well, all right. So let's get super pragmatic in terms of somebody who's relatively new to the partnering world. What are some things that they can actually do with a partner to sort of test alignment, or to kind of evaluate alignment? What are some things that you think are helpful in that way?
So aside from candid conversations and just, you know, meeting with partners outside of that, you know, the forecast, right? Outside of the how much are you going to sell for me discussion, it's really more along those candid discussions around what's working, what's not working, what value are you getting out of this relationship, out of this partnership. And then, like I said, I really like the idea of doing a partner advisory board, even if it's with my CAMs have a portfolio of partners, specific partners that they support, pulling those partners together, because oftentimes what I find is that the partners are learning from one another too. So you're opening a whole new door for them. So it's really communication, John.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. And I love, I think the kind of that underlying point there for me is making sure that you're doing a communication stream that is separate from the day-to-day, right? How do I pull both me and the partner out of the rush of day-to-day and have a separate conversation about, hey, let's take a step back. Is everything working? Are you comfortable? Am I comfortable? You know, that's so critical. And something I think that gets kind of lost in the frenzy too often, right?
Yep. Yeah. I agree. And I think also having a business plan that you can revisit and have as a live document, as opposed to just doing it as a checkbox and a task, right? Being able to revisit that and saying, hey, we had these, we were aligned on these strategic goals, and some of these more tactical things are falling by the wayside. So do you remember how we agreed on that? We should really consider, so I think that that's another really important tool in having those discussions.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Well, thanks, Joy. I so much, again, appreciate you coming on this podcast, sharing a little bit of your wisdom with our listeners. Absolutely love having you here, and I hope that we can do it again sometime.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks again for having me. It's been fun.
All righty.
See ya.
Thank you for joining us on the Partnership Path in Real Life today. Remember, the real world tests theories and creates leaders. Don't stop here. Subscribe, learn, and grow with us. Let's make every experience count. Until our next real life story.